Chapter 12. Questions and Answers. "Well," Nynaeve said as patiently as she could. Keeping her hands in her lap was an effort, as was sitting still on her bed. She stifled a yawn. The hour was early, and she had not slept well for 3 nights now. The wicker cage was empty, the song sparrow set free. She wished she was free. "Well?" Elaine was kneeling on her own bed, head and shoulders out the window into the tiny alley behind the house. From there she had just the slimmest line of sight to the rear of the little tower, where most of the sitters were already receiving the tower envoy this morning. A slight view, but enough to see a bit of the ward against eavesdropping that enclosed the inn. It was the sort that stopped anyone who was trying to listen with the power. The price of sharing knowledge. After a moment Elaine sat back on her heels, frustration painting her face. "Nothing. You said those flows could slip through undetected. I don't think I was noticed, but I certainly heard nothing." That last was directed at Mogedion, on their rickety stool in a corner. The woman's lack of sweat irritated Nynaeve no end. She claimed it took time working with the power before you could achieve the detachment necessary to ignore heat or cold, not much better than the Aes Sedai's vague promises that it would come eventually. Nynaeve and Elaine dripped sweat. Mogedion looked cool as an early spring day, and light it grated. "I said they should." Mogedion's dark eyes darted defensively, though mostly she kept her gaze on Elaine. She always concentrated on whoever wore the Eidom bracelet. "Should. There are thousands of ways to spin wards. It can take days to spin a hole through one." Nynaeve held her tongue, but barely. They'd been trying for days. This was the third since Tarna Fear's arrival, and the hall still held the Red Sister's message from Elida closely. Well, Shiriam and Mirella and that lot knew. Nynaeve would not have been surprised if they had known before the hall did, but even Swan and Lyanna had been shut outside of those daily meetings. At least, they had professed to be. Nynaeve realized she was plucking at her skirts and stilled her hands. Somehow they had to find out what Elida wanted, and, more importantly, the hall's answer. They had to, somehow. "I have to go," Elaine sighed. "I must show some more sisters how I make Turangrial." Very few Aes Sedai in Salidar showed the knack, but they all wanted to learn, and most seemed to think they could, once they made Elaine demonstrate often enough. "You might as well take this," she added, unfastening the bracelet. "I want to try something new in the making after the sisters are done with me, and then I have a novice class." She did not sound happy about that either, not the way she had before the first time. After every class she came back so full of irritation she bristled like a cat. The youngest girls were over-eager, leaping ahead to things they had no idea how to handle, often without asking first. And the oldest, although a little more cautious, were much more likely to argue, or plain balk at an order from a woman 6 or 7 years their junior. Elaine had taken to muttering, "fool novices," and "headstrong idiots," like an accepted of 10 years. "You can have time for questions. Maybe you'll have more luck with how to detect a man than I have." Nynaeve shook her head. "I'm supposed to help Janya and Delana with their notes this morning." She could not help grimacing. Delana was a sitter for the Grey Aja, as Janya was for the Brown, but Nynaeve would get no glimmer of anything from them. "And then I have another lesson from Theodrin." Another waste of time. Everybody in Salidar was wasting time. "Wear it," she said, as Elaine started to hang the bracelet on a wall peg with their clothes. The golden-haired woman gave an affected sigh, but refastened the bracelet. In Nynaeve's opinion, Elaine was entirely too trusting of the Eidom. True, so long as the necklace remained on Mogedion's neck, any woman able to channel could find her with the bracelet and control her. If no one wore the bracelet, she could not move more than 12 paces from it without falling to her knees retching, and the same if she shifted the bracelet more than a few inches from where it had been left, or tried to unfasten the necklace herself. Maybe it would hold her even on the peg, but maybe one of the Forsaken could reason a way around that, given enough chances. Once in Tanchico, Nynaeve had left Mogedion shielded and bound with the power for just a few moments, and she managed to escape. The how of that had been one of the first things Nynaeve questioned her about once she was captured again, though prying out an answer almost required wringing her neck. A tied-off shield was vulnerable, it seemed, if the woman shielded had a little time and patience. Elaine insisted that would not work against the Eidam. There was no knot to attack, and with the necklace around her neck, Mogedion could not even try to touch Saidar without permission. But Nynaeve preferred taking no chances. "Do your copying slowly," Elaine said. "I've copied for Delana before. She hates blots or mistakes. She'll make you do it over 50 times to get a clean page if need be." Nynaeve scowled. Her own hand might not be as clean and delicate as Elaine's, but she was not some lout who had just learned which end of the pen to dip in the ink. The younger woman took no notice, simply slipped out of the room with a final smile. Maybe she'd only meant to be helpful. If the Aes Sedai ever learned how much Nynaeve hated copying, they would start assigning it to her for punishment. "Perhaps you ought to go to Althor," Mogedion said abruptly. She was sitting differently, straighter, her dark eyes held steady on Nynaeve's. "Why?" "What do you mean?" Nynaeve demanded. "You and Elaine should go to Camelon, to Rand. She could be queen, and you..." Mogedion's smile was not at all pleasant. "Sooner or later they will sit you down and dig for how you can make all these marvelous discoveries yet quake like a girl caught with stolen sweets when you try to channel for them." "I do not..." She was not going to explain herself, not to this woman. Why was Mogedion so forward all of a sudden? "Just you remember, whatever happens to me if they find out the truth, your head will be on the chopping block before the week is done. Whereas you will have much longer to suffer. Semirag once made a man scream his every waking hour for 5 years. She even kept him sane, but in the end even she could not keep his heart beating. I doubt any of these children have a tenth of Semirag's skill, but you may find out firsthand how much they do have." How could the woman be saying this? Her normal cringing anxiety had been shed like a snakeskin. They could have been two equals discussing something of casual interest. No worse. Mogedion's attitude said it was of casual interest to her, but dire to Nynaeve. Nynaeve wished she had the bracelet. It would have been a comfort. Mogedion's emotions could not possibly be as cool and calm as her face and her voice. Nynaeve's breath caught. The bracelet. That was it. The bracelet was not in the room. A ball of ice formed in the pit of her stomach. The sweat suddenly seemed to roll more heavily down her face. Logically, whether the bracelet was there or not made no difference. Elaine had it on. Please, Light, don't let her have taken it off. And the other half of the Eidam was firmly around Mogedion's neck. Only logic had nothing to do with it. Nynaeve had never been alone with the woman without the bracelet there. Or rather, the only times she had ended in near total disaster. Mogedion had not been wearing the Eidam then, but that made no difference either. She was one of the Forsaken. They were alone, and Nynaeve had no way to control her. She gripped her skirts to keep from gripping her belt knife. Mogedion's smile deepened as if she had read her thoughts. "In this you can be sure I have your best interests at heart. This..." Her hand hovered near the necklace for a moment, carefully not touching it. "Will hold me in Camelon as well as here. Slavery there is better than death here. But don't take too long to decide. If these so-called Aes Sedai resolve to return to the tower, what better gift to take the new Amarlin's seat than you, a woman so close to Randall Thor, and Elaine? If he feels for her half what she does for him, holding her will tie a cord to him he'll never be able to cut." Nynaeve stood, forcing her knees straight. "You can make the beds and clean the room now. I expect to find it spotless when I return." "How much time do you have?" Mogedion said before she reached the door. The woman could have been asking whether the water was hot for tea. "A few more days at most before they send their answer back to Tar-Valon. A few hours. How will they balance Randall Thor, and even Elida's supposed crimes, against making their precious white tower whole again. "Pay special attention to the chamber pots," Nynaeve said without turning around. "I want them clean this time." She left before Mogedion could say anything else, shutting the door behind her firmly. She leaned back against the rough wooden planks, breathing deeply in the cramped, windowless hallway. Dipping into her belt pouch, she plucked out a small sack and popped two frilly goosemint leaves into her mouth. Goosemint took time to soothe a burning belly, but she chewed and swallowed as though haste could make it work faster. The last few moments had been one blow after another, as Mogedion shattered one thing after another that she had known. Even with all her distrust, she had believed the woman cowed. False. Oh, light, false. She'd been sure Mogedion knew almost as little about Elaine and Rand as the Aes Sedai did. False. And for her to suggest going to him... They had talked too freely in front of her. What else had they let slip, and what use could Mogedion make of it? Another accepted entered the dim hall from the small house's front room, and Nynaeve straightened, tucking the goosemint away and smoothing her dress. Every room but the front one had been made into sleeping quarters, and accepted and servants filled them, three or four to a room not much larger than the one behind her, and sometimes two to a bed. The other accepted was a slight woman, almost wispy, with grey eyes and a quick grin. An Ilianer, Imara did not like Swan or Lyanna, which Nynaeve found easy to understand, and thought they should be sent away, decently, as she put it, the way stilled women always had been. But aside from that, she was pleasant, not even resenting Elaine and Nynaeve's extra space, or Marigan doing their chores. No few did. "I hear you do be copying for Janya and Delana," she said in her high-pitched voice, brushing past toward her own room. "Take my advice and write as fast as you can. Janya does care more for getting all her words down than for a few smudges." Nynaeve glared at Imara's back. "Write slow for Delana, write fast for Janya." A fine lot of counsel that added up to. In any case, she could not make herself worry about blotting copy now, or even about Mogedion, until she had a chance to talk it over with Elaine. Shaking her head and muttering under her breath, she stalked outside. Maybe she had been taking things for granted, letting things slip, but it was time to give herself a good shake and stop it. She knew who she had to find. In the last few days, a quiet had settled over Salidar, although the streets were just as crowded. For one thing, the forges outside the village were silent. Everyone had been told to guard their tongues while Tarna was there, about the embassy on its way to Camelin, about Loghain, who was safely tucked away in one of the soldiers' camps, even about the soldiers themselves, and why they had been gathered. It left most fearful of saying anything at all above a whisper. The low buzz of talk had an anxious note. Everyone was affected. Servants who normally hurried now moved hesitantly, casting fearful glances over their shoulders. Even Aes Sedai seemed wary beneath their calm, eyeing each other in a calculating manner. There were few soldiers in the streets now, as though Tarna had not seen her fill the first day and come to her own conclusions. The wrong answer to the hall would put nooses around all their necks. Even rulers and nobles who wanted to stand aside from the tower troubles would likely hang any soldiers they laid hands on, just to keep the notion of rebellion from spreading. Feeling the uncertainty, those few wore carefully blank faces or anxious frowns, except for Gareth Bryn, waiting patiently in front of the little tower. He had been there every day, from before the sitters arrived until they left. She thought he wanted to make sure they remembered him and what he was doing for them. The one time she had seen the sitters coming out, they had not appeared pleased to see him. Only the warders seemed no different for the Red Sisters' arrival. The warders and the children. Nynaeve gave a start when three small girls burst up in front of her like quail, ribbons in their hair, sweaty, dusty, and laughing as they ran. The children did not know what Salidar waited for, and likely would not understand if they did know. Each warder would follow his Aes Sedai, whatever she decided and wherever she went, and never turn a hair. Most of the muted talk seemed to be about the weather. That and tales from elsewhere about strange happenings, two-headed calves talking, and men smothered by swarms of flies, all the children in a village disappearing in the middle of the night, and people struck dead by something unseen in broad daylight. Anyone who could think clearly knew that the drought and unseasonable heat were the Dark One's hand touching the world, but even most Aes Sedai doubted Elaine and Nynaeve's claims that the other happenings were as real, that bubbles of evil were rising from the Dark One's prison as the seals weakened, rising and drifting along the pattern till they burst. Most people could not think clearly. Some blamed it all on Rand. Some said the Creator was displeased that the world had not gathered behind the Dragon Reborn, or displeased that the Aes Sedai had not captured and gentled him, or displeased that Aes Sedai were opposing a seated Ammerlin. Nynaeve had heard people say the weather would come right as soon as the tower was whole again. She pushed through the crowd. "Swear it's true," murmured a cook all flour to her elbows. "There's a White Cloak army massed the other side the Eldar, just waiting word from Elida to attack." Aside from the weather and two-headed calves, tales of White Cloaks outnumbered every other sort. But White Cloaks waiting orders from Elida? The heat had melted the woman's brains. "The lights stand witness, it's true," a grizzled carter muttered to a frowning woman whose well-cut wool dress marked her an Aes Sedai's maid. "Elida's dead. The Reds come to summon Shiriam to be the new Ammerlin." The woman nodded, accepting every word of it. "I say Elida's a fine Ammerlin," one rough-coated man said, shifting a bundle of faggots on his shoulder. "As fine as any." He did not murmur to his companion. He spoke loudly, trying hard not to look around to see who had heard him. Nynaeve's mouth twisted sourly. He wanted to be overheard. How had Elida discovered Salidar so quickly? Tarna must have left Tar Valon soon after Aes Sedai began gathering in the village. Swan had pointed out darkly that a goodly number of Blue Sisters were still missing. The original message to gather in Salidar had been aimed at Blues, and Alviarin was accomplished at applying the question. A stomach-turning thought, but not as wrenching as the most common explanation. Secret supporters of Elida here in Salidar. Everybody looked sideways at everybody else, and the woodman was not the first Nynaeve had heard say much the same, in the same manner. Aes Sedai might not say it, but Nynaeve suspected some wanted to. It all stirred Salidar into a stew, and not a tasty one. It made what she was doing even more right. Finding who she sought took time. She needed groups of children playing, and there were not many children in Salidar. Sure enough, Birgitta was watching five boys scramble about the street, throwing a small bag of pebbles at each other, all laughing uproariously whenever one of them was hit, including the one hit. It made no more sense than most boys' games, or men's. Birgitta was not alone, of course. She seldom was, unless she made an effort to be. Arena stood at her shoulder, dabbing at the perspiration streaming down her face, and trying not to show boredom with the children. A year or two younger than Nynaeve, Arena wore her dark hair in a braid patterned after Birgitta's golden one, though still little below her shoulders. Birgitta's hung properly to the waist. Her clothes copied Birgitta, too, a waist-length coat of pale gray and voluminous bronze-colored trousers gathered at the ankle above short boots with raised heels, as did the bow she carried and the quiver at her waist. Nynaeve did not think Arena had ever held a bow before meeting Birgitta. She ignored the woman. "I need to talk to you," she told Birgitta. "Alone." Arena glanced at her, blue eyes close to contempt. "I'd think you'd be wearing your shawl this fine day, Nynaeve. Oh, my, you seem to be sweating like a horse. Why is that?" Nynaeve's face tightened. She had befriended the woman before Birgitta had, but the friendship melted on reaching Salidar. Learning that Nynaeve was not full Aes Sedai brought something more than disappointment. Only a request from Birgitta had held Arena back from informing the Aes Sedai that she had masqueraded as one. Besides, Arena had taken the oaths as a hunter for the Horn, and Birgitta was certainly a better model for that life than Nynaeve. To think she had once pitied the woman her bruises. From your face, Birgitta said with a sweaty grin. Either you're ready to strangle somebody, probably Arena here, or else your dress fell off in the middle of a pack of soldiers and you weren't wearing a shift. Arena snorted a laugh, but she looked shocked. Why she should, Nynaeve did not know. The woman had had plenty of time to become used to Birgitta's so-called sense of humor, more suited as it was to some unshaven man with his nose in a mug and his belly full of ale. Nynaeve studied the boy's play for a minute to give her irritation a chance to die down. Worse than useless to let herself get angry when she had a favor to ask. Steve and Jarl were among the boys dodging and tossing the bag. The Yellows had been right about them. Time was what they had needed. After close to 2 months in Salidar with other children and no fear, they laughed and shouted as loudly as the rest. A sudden thought hit her like a hammer. Marigan still looked after them, if grudgingly, saw that they were bathed and fed, but now that they were talking again, at any time they might tell that the woman was not their mother. Perhaps they already had. That might not cause questions, but then again it might, and questions could bring the house of twigs they had built tumbling down on their heads. The ball of ice reappeared in the pit of Nynaeve's belly. Why had she not thought of this before? She gave a start as Birgitta touched her arm. What is wrong, Nynaeve? You look as though your best friend died and cursed you with her last breath. Arena was striding away, stiff-backed, casting one look over her shoulder at them. The woman could watch Birgitta drink and flirt with men without turning a hair, and even try to emulate her, yet she bristled every time Birgitta wanted to be alone with Elaine or Nynaeve. Men were no threat. Only women could be friends in Arena's book, but only she could be Birgitta's friend. The idea of having two friends seemed foreign to her. Well, enough and be done with her. Could you get horses for us? Nynaeve tried to steady her voice. That was not what she had come to ask, but Steve and Jarl made it an excellent question. How long will it take? Birgitta drew her out of the street, to the mouth of a narrow alley between two weathered houses, and looked around carefully before answering. No one was close enough to overhear or pay them any mind. A day or two. Uno was just telling me, not Uno. We will leave him out of this. Just you, me, Elaine, and Marigan. Unless Tom and Julin return in time. And Arena, I suppose, if you insist. Arena's a fool some ways, Birgitta said slowly. But life will wring that out of her, or wring her out. You know I'd never insist on her going along if you and Elaine don't want her. Nynaeve kept silent. The woman was behaving as if she was the jealous one. It was none of her affair if Birgitta wanted to take up with somebody as fickle as Arena. Rubbing a knuckle across her lips, Birgitta frowned. Tom and Julin are good men, but the best way to avoid trouble is to make sure no one wants to trouble you. A dozen or so Shinarans in armor, or out, would go a long way toward that. I don't understand you and Uno. He is tough, and he'd follow you and Elaine into the pit of doom. A sudden grin bloomed on her face. Besides, he's a well-set-up fellow. We do not need anyone to hold our hands, Nynaeve told her stiffly. Well-set-up? That painted eye-patch flashed queasily across her mind, and the scars. The woman had the strangest taste in men. We can handle anything that comes our way. I'd think we've already proved that, if it needed proof. I know we can, Nynaeve, but we'll draw trouble like flies to a midden. Altara's at a slow boil. Every day brings another tale of dragon-sworn, and I'll wager my best silk dress against one of your old shifts that half of them are really just brigands who'll see four women alone as easy meat. We will have to prove we're not every second day. Mirandy's worse, I hear, full of dragon-sworn and bandits and refugees from Kyrian, afraid the dragon reborn will fall on them any day. I assume you don't mean to cross over into Amadicia. I assume it's Camelin. Her intricate braid swung slightly as she tilted her head and raised a questioning eyebrow. Does Elaine agree with you about Uno? She will, Nynaeve muttered. I see. Well, when she does, I will procure as many horses as we need, but I want her to tell me why we should not take Uno. The unyielding finality of her tone heated Nynaeve's face angrily. If she did ask Elaine ever so sweetly to tell Birgitta that Una was to stay here, they might well find him waiting down the road and Birgitta all amazement over how he knew they were going and which way. The woman might be Elaine's warder, but sometimes Nynaeve wondered which of them was really in charge. When she found Lan, when, not if, she intended to make him swear oaths fit to curl his hair that he would abide by her decisions. She drew deep, calming breaths. No point arguing with a stone wall. She might as well get on to the reason she had hunted up Birgitta in the first place. Casually, she took a step deeper into the narrow alley, making the other woman follow. Brown stubble remained underfoot from the brush that had been cleared out of it. Trying to appear off-handed, she studied the press in the street. Still no one giving them more than a glance. She lowered her voice anyway. "We need to know what Tarna is telling the hall, and what they're telling her. Elaine and I have tried to find out, but they ward the meetings against eavesdropping. Only with the power, though. They're so caught up that someone can listen in that way, they seem to have forgotten about pressing an ear to a door. If someone were to..." Birgitta cut her off in a flat voice. "No." "At least consider it. Elaine or I are 10 times as likely to be caught as you." She thought of adding that Elaine was rather clever, but the other woman sniffed. "I said no. You've been many things since I've known you, Nynaeve, but never silly. Light, they'll announce it to everyone in a day or two." "We need to know now," Nynaeve hissed, swallowing. "You man-brained idiot!" "Silly? Of course she had never been silly. She must not be angry. If she could convince Elaine to go, they might not be here in a day or two. Best not to open that bag of snakes again." Shuddering, a touch ostentatiously, Nynaeve thought, Birgitta leaned on her bow. "I was caught spying on Aes Sedai once. They tossed me out on my ear 3 days later, and I left Shaemal as fast as I could reach a horse. I will not go through that to gain you a day you don't need." Nynaeve remained calm. She made an effort to maintain a smooth face, to not grind her teeth, to not yank her braid. She was calm. "I never heard any story about you spying on Aes Sedai." As soon as the words were out of her mouth, she wanted them back. The core of Birgitta's secret was that she was the Birgitta in the stories. Nothing that made that connection was ever to be mentioned. For a moment, Birgitta's face was stone, hiding everything inside. It was enough to make Nynaeve shiver. There was too much pain wrapped in the other woman's secret. Finally, stone became flesh once more, and Birgitta sighed. "Time changes things. I hardly recognize half those tales myself, and the other half not at all. We'll not speak of it again." That was very plainly not a suggestion. Nynaeve opened her mouth with no clear idea of what to say. Her own debt to Birgitta meant she did not want to poke at the woman's pain, but to be balked over 2 simple requests. And a third woman's voice spoke suddenly from the mouth of the alley.
"Nynaeve, Janya and Delana want you right this minute."
Nynaeve tried to climb straight up into the air. Her heart tried to climb through the roof of her mouth. In the mouth of the alley, novice-clad Nicola looked startled for a moment. So did Birgitta. Then she studied her bow, looking amused. Nynaeve had to swallow twice before she could force a word out. How much had the woman heard?
"If you think that's any way to speak to an accepted, Nicola, you had best learn better quickly, or you will be taught."
It was a properly Aes Sedai thing to say, but the slender woman's dark eyes surveyed Nynaeve, weighing and measuring.
"I am sorry, accepted," she said, curtsying. "I will try to be more careful."
The curtsy was just exactly deep enough for an accepted, to the inch, and if the tone was cool, it was not cool enough to call her down for. Irena had not been the only traveling companion disappointed by learning the truth about Elaine and Nynaeve, but Nicola had agreed to keep the secret, as if surprised they thought they had to ask. Then, after testing revealed she could learn to channel, the weighing and measuring entered her eyes. Nynaeve understood all too well. Nicola lacked the inborn spark. Without teaching, she would never have touched Saidar. but already her promise was spoken of, the strength she would have one day if she applied herself. 2 years earlier, with more potential than any novice in centuries, she would have caused real excitement. That was before Elaine and Egwene, and Nynaeve herself, though. Nicola never said anything, yet Nynaeve was certain she was determined to match Elaine and Nynaeve, if not better them. She never stepped over the line of propriety, but she often walked it. Nynaeve gave her a sharp nod. Understanding did not stop her wanting to dose the fool woman with triple-strength sheep's tongue root for pure idiocy. See that you do. Go tell the Aes Sedai I'll be with them in just a few moments. Nicola curtsied again, but as she turned away, Nynaeve said, Wait. The woman stopped immediately. It was not there now, but for an instant Nynaeve had been sure she saw a flash of satisfaction. Did you tell me everything? I was sent to tell you to come, accepted, and I did. Bland as water a week in the pitcher. What did they say? Their exact words. Exact words accepted? I don't know that I can remember their exact words, but I'll try. Remember, it was them who said it. I'm only repeating. Janya Sedai said something like, If that fool girl doesn't show up soon, I vow she won't be able to sit down comfortably until she's old enough to be a grandmother. And Delana Sedai said, She'll be that old before she decides to appear. If she isn't here inside the quarter hour, I will turn her hide into dust rags. Her eyes were innocence itself. That was about 20 minutes ago, accepted. Maybe a little longer. Nynaeve very nearly swallowed again. Just because Aes Sedai could not lie did not mean every threat had to be taken literally, but sometimes a sparrow would starve on the difference. With anybody but Nicola, she would have yelped, Oh, light! And scurried. Not under those eyes. Not in front of a woman who seemed to be storing up a list of her weaknesses. In that case, I suppose there's no need for you to run ahead of me. Go on about your duties. Turning her back on Nicola's curtsy as if she had no care in the world, she spoke to Birgitta. I'll talk with you later. I suggest you do nothing about the matter until then. With luck, that might keep her away from Uno. With a great deal of luck. I will consider your suggestion, Birgitta said gravely, but there was nothing grave about the mixture of sympathy and amusement on her face. The woman knew Aes Sedai. In some ways she knew more about Aes Sedai than any Aes Sedai. There was nothing for it but to accept and hope. As Nynaeve started up the street, Nicola fell in beside her. I told you to be about your duties. They said to come back when I found you, accepted. Is that one of your herbs? Why do you use herbs? Is it because you can't... Forgive me, accepted. I should not have mentioned that. Nynaeve blinked at the sack of goose mint in her hand. She did not remember taking it out, and stuffed it back in her pouch. She wanted to chew the whole sackful of leaves. She ignored the apology and its cause. One was surely as false as the other was deliberate. I use herbs because healing isn't always necessary. Would the Yellows disapprove if that got back to them? They were contemptuous of herbs. They only seemed interested in illnesses that did need healing. Or those where it was not cracking pecans with a sledgehammer anyway. What was she doing worrying over what she said to Nicola in case it should be carried to Aes Sedai? The woman was a novice, no matter how she looked at her and Elaine. It did not matter how she looked at them. Keep quiet, she said irritably. I want to think. Nicola did keep quiet as they wended their way through the crowded streets, but it seemed to Nynaeve that the woman's steps dragged. Perhaps it was only imagination, but Nynaeve's knees began to ache from the effort of not outpacing her. Under no circumstances would she let Nicola see her even appear to hurry. The situation set a slow burn inside her. Of everybody who could have been sent to fetch her, it was hard to imagine anyone worse than Nicola and her eyes. Birgitta was probably running off to find Uno right that minute. The sitters were probably telling Tarna they were ready to kneel and kiss Elida's ring. Sieve and Jarl were probably telling Shiriam they did not know Marigan from a wild goose. it had been that kind of day, and the molten sun stood only a quarter toward its peak in the cloudless sky. Janya and Dalana were waiting in the front room of the small house they shared with three other Aes Sedai, each with her own bedroom, of course. Each Aja had a house for its meetings, but Aes Sedai were scattered about through the village depending on when they had come in. Frowning at the floor, lips pursed, Janya appeared unaware of their arrival. Pale-haired Dalana, though, her hair was so fair there was no telling whether there was white in it or not. Dalana focused her equally pale blue eyes on them as soon as they set foot inside the door. Nicola jumped. Nynaeve would have felt better about that, had she not done the same. Usually the stout grey's eyes were no different from any other Aes Sedai's, but when she really focused on you, it was as if nothing existed but you. Some said Dalana was successful as a mediator because both sides would agree just to make her stop staring at them. You started thinking of what you had done wrong, even if you had done nothing. The list that popped into Nynaeve's head made her curtsy as deeply as Nicola before she knew it. "Ah," Janya said, blinking as if they had sprung out of the floor. "There you are." "Forgive me for being late," Nynaeve said hastily. Let Nicola hear whatever she wanted. Dalana was staring at her, not Nicola. "I lost track of the time and—"
"No matter."
Dalana's voice was deep for a woman, her accent a throaty echo of Uno's Shinaran. It was oddly melodious in such a round woman, but then Dalana was oddly graceful for one so stout.
"Nicola, be off with you. You'll be running errands for Faelaine until your next lesson."
Nicola wasted no time dropping another curtsy and darting out. Maybe she had wanted to hear what the Aes Sedai said to Nynaeve for being late, but no one walked any lines with Aes Sedai. Nynaeve would not have cared if Nicola sprouted wings. She had just realized there was no inkpot on the table where the Aes Sedai took their meals. No sand bowl, no pen, no paper. None of what she would need. Had she been supposed to bring it? Dalana was still staring at her. The woman never stared at anyone that long. She never stared at all unless she had a reason.
"Would you like cool mint tea?" Janya said, and it was Nynaeve's turn to blink. "I do think tea is comforting. It smooths conversation, I always find."
Not waiting for an answer, the bird-like brown sister began filling mismatched cups from a blue-striped teapot on the sideboard. A rock stood in place of one of the sideboard's legs. Aes Sedai might have more room, but their furnishings were just as battered.
"Dalana and I decided our notes could wait for another time. We will just talk instead. Honey? I prefer it without myself. All that sweetness ruins the flavor. Young women always want their honey. Such wonderful things you've been doing, you and Elaine."
A loud throat clearing made her look at Dalana questioningly. After a moment, Janya said,
"Ah, yes."
Dalana had pulled one of the chairs from the table into the middle of the bare floor, one cane-bottomed chair. From the moment Janya mentioned conversation, Nynaeve had known that that was not at all what was going to happen. Dalana motioned to the chair, and Nynaeve took a seat on the very edge of it, accepting a cup on a chipped saucer from Janya with a murmured, "Thank you, Aes Sedai." She did not have long to wait.
"Tell us about Randall Thor," Janya said.
She appeared ready to say more, but Dalana cleared her throat again. Janya blinked and fell silent, sipping her tea. They stood to either side of Nynaeve's chair. Dalana glanced at her, then sighed and channeled the third cup to herself. It floated across the room. Dalana fixed on her again in that way that seemed to bore holes in your head, Janya apparently lost in thought and maybe not seeing her at all.
"I've told you everything I know," Nynaeve sighed. "Well, told Aes Sedai, anyway." She had, too. Nothing she knew could harm him, not any more than knowing what he was, anyway, and it might help if she could make the sisters see him as a man. Not a man who could channel, just a man. Not an easy task with the dragon reborn. "I don't know any more."
"Don't sulk," Dalana snapped, "and don't fidget."
Nynaeve set her cup back in the saucer and wiped her wrist on her skirt.
"Child," Janya said, her tone all compassion, "I know you think you've told all you know, but Delanna, I cannot think you would hold back on purpose."
"Why would she not?" Delanna barked. "Born in the same village, watched him grow up. Her loyalties may be more to him than to the White Tower."
That razor gaze descended on Nynaeve again.
"Tell us something you haven't told before. I've heard all your stories, girl, so I will know."
"Try, child. I'm sure you don't want to make Delanna angry with you. Why..."
Janya cut off at another throat clearing. Nynaeve hoped they thought her teacup rattling meant she was rattled as well. Dragged here, terrified. No, not terrified, but worried at least, over how angry they might be, and now this. Being around Aes Sedai taught you to listen carefully. You still might not catch what they really meant, but you had a better chance than if you listened with half an ear, the way most people usually did. Neither one had really said they thought she was keeping anything back. They just intended to frighten her on the chance that they might shake something else loose. She was not afraid of them. Well, not much. She was furious.
"When he was a boy," she said carefully, "he would accept his punishment without any argument if he thought he deserved it, but if he didn't think so, he fought every step of the way."
Delanna snorted.
"You've told that to everyone who would listen. Something else, quickly."
"You can lead him or convince him, but he won't be pushed. He digs in his heels if he thinks you're..."
"And that."
Hands on broad hips, Delanna bent down until her head was level with Nynaeve's. Nynaeve almost wished she had Nicola staring at her again.
"Something you've not told every cook and laundress in Salidar."
"Do try, child," Janya said, and for a wonder left it at that.
They dug away, Janya prompting sympathetically, Delanna boring without mercy, and Nynaeve brought up every scrap she could remember. It earned her no respite. Every scrap had been told so many times before she could identify them by taste. As Delanna kindly pointed out, well, not so kindly. By the time Nynaeve managed to take a sip of her tea, it tasted stale, and the sweetness almost curled her tongue. Janya apparently really did believe young women liked lots of honey. The morning passed slowly, very slowly.
"This is taking us nowhere," Delanna said at last, glaring at Nynaeve as if it were all her fault.
"May I go, then?" Nynaeve asked wearily. Every drop of sweat that drenched her seemed to have been squeezed out. She felt limp. She also wanted to slap both those cool Aes Sedai faces. Delanna and Janya exchanged glances. The gray shrugged and walked over to the sideboard for another cup of tea.
"Of course you may," Janya said. "I know this must have been difficult for you, but we really do need to know Randall Thor better than he knows himself if we are to decide what's best. Otherwise everything could turn to catastrophe. Oh my, yes. You've done very well, child, but then I never expected any less of you. Anyone who can make the discoveries you've made with your handicap, why, I expect nothing less than excellence from you. And to think..."
It took quite a while for her to run down and let Nynaeve stagger outside. Stagger she did, on wobbly knees. Everybody was talking about her. Of course they were. She should have listened to Elaine and begun leaving all the so-called discoveries to her. Mugedian was right. Sooner or later they were going to start probing for how she did it. So they had to decide what was best to avoid catastrophe. No clue there to what they intended toward Rand. A glance at the sun, almost overhead, told her she was already late for her appointment with Theodrin. At least she had a good excuse this time. Theodrin's house, hers and 24 other women's, lay beyond the little tower. Nynaeve slowed as she came abreast of the one-time inn. The gaggle of warders out front near Gareth Bryn were evidence the meeting still went on. A residue of anger enabled her to see the ward, a close flat dome mostly of fire and air with touches of water, shimmering to her eyes over the entire building, the knot holding it in tantalizing fashion. Touching that knot would be as good as offering her hide to a tannery. There were plenty of Aes Sedai in the crowded street. Now and then some of the warders moved back and forth through the shimmer, invisible to them, as one group broke up and another formed. The same ward Elaine had failed to penetrate, a shield against eavesdropping, with the power. Theodrin's house stood 100 paces or so farther up the street, but Nynaeve turned into the yard beside a thatch-roofed house just 2 beyond the former inn. A rickety wooden fencing closed the tiny plot of withered weeds behind the house, but it had a gate, hanging on one hinge that was nearly all rust. It squealed murderously when she shifted the gate. She looked around hastily. No one at any of the windows. No one in the street could see her. Gathered her skirts, and darted through into the narrow alleyway that eventually ran by the room she shared with Elaine. For a moment she hesitated, wiping sweaty palms on her dress, remembering what Birgitta had said. She knew she was a coward at heart, much as she hated the fact. Once she had thought herself brave enough. Not a hero like Birgitta, but brave enough. The world had taught her better. Just thinking of what the sisters would do if they caught her made her want to turn around and run to Theodrin. The chance was vanishingly small that she could actually find a window on the very room where the sitters were. Impossibly small. Trying to work some moisture back into her mouth, how could her mouth be so dry when the rest of her was so damp? She crept closer. One day she wanted to know what it was like to be brave like Birgitta or Elaine instead of a coward. The ward did not tingle when she stepped through. It did not feel like anything at all. She had known it would not. Touching it could do no harm, but she flattened herself against the rough stone wall. Bits of creeper clinging to its cracks brushed her face. Slowly she edged along to the nearest casement window and nearly turned around and left right then. It was shut tight, all the glass gone, replaced by oiled cloth that might let in light but certainly did not allow her to see anything, or hear anything, at least if there was anybody on the other side, no noise escaped. Taking a deep breath, she inched to the next window. One pane had been replaced here, too, but the remainder showed a battered once ornate table covered with papers and inkpots, a few chairs, and an otherwise empty room. Muttering a curse she had heard from Elaine, the girl had a surprising stock of such tucked away. She felt her way along the rough stone. The third window was swung out. She pressed her nose close and jerked back. She had not really believed she would find anything, but Tarna was in there. Not with sitters, but Shiriam and Mirella and the rest of that lot. If her heart had not been pounding so hard, she would have heard the murmur of their voices before she looked. Kneeling down, she moved as close to the casement as she could without being seen by those inside. The bottom of the window rubbed against her head. "Sure that is the message you wish me to carry back?" That steely voice had to be Tarna's. "You request more time to consider? What is there to consider?"
"The hall," Shiriam began.
"The hall," the Tower envoy scoffed. "Do not believe me blind to where power lies. That so-called hall thinks what you 6 tell them to think."
"The hall, it has asked for more time," Bayonin said firmly. "Who can say what decision they will reach?"
"Elida will have to wait to hear their decision," Morvryn said in a fair imitation of Tarna's icy tone. "Can she not wait a small time to see the White Tower whole once more?"
Tarna's reply was even colder, though.
"I will carry your, the hall's, message to the Ammerlin. We shall see what she thinks of it."
A door opened and closed with a sharp bang. Nynaeve could have screamed with frustration. Now she knew the answer, but not the question. If only Janyan Dalana had released her a little sooner. Well, it was better than nothing. Better than, "We will return and obey Elida." There was no point staying here, waiting for someone to look out and see her.
She started to ease away, and Mirella said, "Perhaps we should just send a message. Perhaps we should simply summon her."
Frowning, Nynaeve held her place.
"Her who?"
"The forms must be met," Morvryn said gruffly. "The proper ceremonies must be followed."
Bayonin spoke on her heels in firm tones.
We must meet every letter of the law. The smallest slip, it will be used against us. And if we have made a mistake?
Carlinia sounded heated for perhaps the first time in her life.
How long are we to wait? How long dare we wait?
As long as need be, Morvryn said.
As long as we must.
That from Baenin.
I have not waited this long for the biddable child just to abandon all our plans now.
For some reason that produced a silence, although Nynaeve did hear someone murmur biddable again as if examining the word. What child? A novice or accepted? It made no sense. Sisters never waited on novices or accepted.
We have gone too far to turn back, Carlinia, Shiriam said finally. Either we bring her here and make sure she does as she should, or we leave everything to the hall and hope they do not lead us all to disaster.
From her tone, she considered that last a hope for fools.
One slip, Carlinia said coldly, even more coldly than usual, and we will all end with our heads on pikes.
But who will put them there? Anaya asked thoughtfully. Elida, the hall, or Randall Thor? Silence stretched, the skirts rustled, and the door opened and closed once more. Nynaeve risked a peek. The room was empty. She made a vexed sound. That they intended to wait was small consolation. The final answer could still be anything. Anaya's comment showed they were still as wary of Rand as of Elida. Maybe more. Elida was not gathering men who could channel. And who was the biddable child? No, that was unimportant. They could have 50 schemes weaving she knew nothing about. The ward winked out and Nynaeve jumped. It was past time to be gone from here. Scrambling to her feet, she began dusting her knees vigorously as she stepped away from the wall. One step was all she took. She stopped, bent over with her hands frozen over the dirty spots on her dress, staring at Theodrin. The apple-cheeked Domani woman met her gaze, not saying a word. Hastily, Nynaeve considered and rejected the fool claim that she had been searching for something she dropped. Instead, she straightened and walked slowly by the other woman as if there was nothing to explain. Theodrin fell in beside her silently, hands folded at her waist. Nynaeve considered her options. She could hit Theodrin over the head and run. She could get back on her knees and plead. Both notions had a good deal wrong with them to her way of thinking, but she could not pull up anything in between.
"Have you been keeping calm?" Theodrin asked, looking straight ahead.
Nynaeve gave a start. That had been the other woman's instruction to her after yesterday's attempt to break down her block. Keep calm, very calm. Think only quiet, composed thoughts.
"Of course," she laughed weakly.
"What could there be to upset me?"
"That is good," Theodrin said serenely. "Today I mean to try something a little more direct."
Nynaeve glanced at her. No questions? No accusations? The way this day had been going, she could not believe she was getting off so lightly.
Neither saw the woman watching them from a second-story window.